Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning. Rob asked me to convey to you this morning the gratitude that he and Carrie feels for you, the appreciation for your prayers and your thoughts about them and the meals. They're very grateful. That's what we do, isn't it? When we have those in our family that we care for and that need us to help them, that's what we do. And we're glad to do it, and those that are doing that are happy to do so. How many of you like obstacles? A lot of times we don't like obstacles. Sometimes obstacles are good. I remember when I was in my 30s, I wanted to go to work for the Oklahoma City Police Department, and I applied with 3,000 people. 3,000. There was an obstacle course that we had to do. It was quite tough, and one of them, there was a 2-mile run that we did from the very beginning. We did that 2-mile run, and then we hit this obstacle course, and there was a lot of difficulty in this obstacle course. We had to run up the fire department's fire tower, those little short steps, hit every one of the steps, get to the top, look over the top, and they had a bucket hanging down about halfway down, and we were supposed to look over the side, and obviously to make sure that we weren't scared of heights, and identify an object that was in the bucket and tell the instructor what it was, and then to come down and run as hard as we could through the remainder of this obstacle course, pick up a life-size, life-weight dummy, stuff it in the back of a police car, and then push that police car 10 feet without any help from anybody. I was only 160 pounds, and I know that's kind of hard to imagine that back then, but I was. And it was tough to push that car to get it going. But we were thriving on that obstacle course. But a lot of times we don't like obstacles. They get in the way. They prevent us from going where we want to go. They hinder us from an objective that we have. This morning I want us to take a look at some obstacles to discipleship. Obstacles to discipleship. That first obstacle is the obstacle of selfishness. One of the first lessons that we teach our children is to share with other children. You know, we're born in a way that we're very needy. Now, I don't know if I would call that selfishness. A child doesn't know how much rest their parents need. They don't know when that it doesn't matter what time it is, when they're hungry or their diaper needs changed, they just need from their parents. It doesn't matter how tired we are. It doesn't matter because we meet the needs of our children. But we're born that way. You know, the next thing that we do is we try to teach our children to share with others, and when they don't share, then we do what? We force them to share, don't we? We take things away from them to give to others, and then it shocks us when they have a wall-eyed fit and they jerk that whatever we gave to someone else away from them because it makes us look bad that we're raising selfish kids. Isn't that ridiculous? And what we fail to do is we fail to see how important it is to show the embodiment of sharing, and that is out of example. When we start to show our kids what it really means to not be selfish. When we take our kids to go visit shut-ins, or we take our kids to go do work projects, and to actually show them what it means to sacrifice your time and sacrifice things that you really want to do. We see a selfish person in Scripture, and that person is Judas Iscariot. The Bible tells us in chapter 12 of John that there was a certain occasion when there was a woman that anointed Jesus with some perfume, and Judas, you remember his, why wasn't this perfume sold and given to the poor? What? It really looks like Judas's concern for the poor, but just a verse later, John tells us, look at that with me. Verse 5, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? And then verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box. and he used it to take what was in it. Judas was a thief. Judas betrayed a trust that was given to him as the treasurer for the disciples. See, it only appeared that Judas was concerned for the poor, but in fact, he was selfish. He betrayed that trust to fulfill an inside need for money. Can you imagine you're the treasurer and you're taking money out for yourselves? That's nuts, isn't it? To betray a trust like that? But that's the very thing Judas was doing. He betrayed a trust. He also betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. You know, the priest took it out of the treasury to give to Judas. And then when Judas felt bad and he brought it back, they wouldn't take it back because now it's blood money. Selfishness. He was more concerned for personal gain and was willing to betray the trust of Jesus. The sin of selfishness and greed can have drastic effects on our discipleship. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all evil." He is not the root of all kinds of evil, which some have pierced themselves. They've pierced themselves because of this through many sorrows. Sometimes we work ourselves ragged so we can have more money. Sometimes we work ourselves ragged so we can have possessions and things that the world tells us that we need. Sometimes we work so hard and so much that we can't even get to worship. In light of the gift of God, of His Son, is that not being selfish towards God? I think it is. Where does selfishness end? Paul told Timothy, through many sorrows. Selfishness can have drastic effects on our discipleship. It's an obstacle. Not only is selfishness an obstacle to true discipleship, but there's also a second obstacle, the obstacle of preoccupation. This is not being aligned with matters of the kingdom. Peter was one who had his own ideas about the kingdom. And on one occasion, when Jesus was telling the disciples that, "Hey, I'm getting ready to leave, and I'm going to go someplace that you can't go. And where I'm going, you can't go." Jesus was going to suffer. He was going to die. But by the power of God, you would raise him from the grave. But Peter, in John 13:36, he says, "Why can't I follow? I'll lay down my life for you." Jesus says, "In fact, you will lay down your life for me. But before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me." What? Then Jesus goes on to say in chapter 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Preoccupation with the kingdom. You know, this morning in Jerry's class, we talked about some of those preoccupations that get in the way of being a disciple. We don't like those things. Sometimes we read God's Word and it infuriates us. I remember as a not too young of a man, but young enough, I was still in high school when a missionary was teaching in our house and my grandma was there, and the missionary was talking about baptism and the forgiveness of sins. And I remember my grandma just wiping her hands on the pages as if she could remove the words from the page like sand. And I thought, "Grandma, Do we do this when we read God's word? You know, my grandma never obeyed the gospel. People refuse God's word all the time. We know people in our lives that they love God, but they don't do what He asks of them. Clay read for us this morning, "If you are my disciples and you love me, you will keep my commandments. And if you don't love me, you won't keep them." Preoccupation. Things get in the way of being a disciple. Lord, where are you going and why can't I come with you? I'll lay down my life. Do you ever have your own ideas about the kingdom? That's not the way I'm going to do it. What brother so-and-so said to me is just unforgivable. That person doesn't need any help. Did you hear what sister so-and-so said and did? God doesn't want me to be unhappy. We tend to want things our way and not the way of the kingdom. We tend to want things our way and not the way of the kingdom. You know, there's no I in others. It was funny, and there's no I in service, but actually there is when I first wrote that. We say things like, I want to be in charge. I want recognition. I want to be noticed. I want to do things that lift me up. The questions I should be saying to myself is, how can I be a help? How can I be of service? What needs to be done? Removing preoccupation and selfishness, we need to look only to Jesus to get a grasp of getting these things out of our way. He sacrificed His life, His energy for people. He was interrupted in His prayers. Do I do that? He was more concerned for the kingdom and God's will. Am I like that? He gave up His place in heaven. Would I do that? He humbled Himself and submitted to the authorities. Do I do that? We only need to look to Scripture for help. I want to be a disciple of Christ. Don't you? Things get in our way every day. Our jobs, our careers, family. We're unwilling to do what God asks us to do because it might jeopardize what my grandparents or my grandma refused to do. Do you want to be a disciple of Christ Jesus? Then you got to do what He says. You got to do what His word teaches. Yes, things are hard sometimes. But if you really love God, then you want to do what He says. No matter what the outcome, no matter what people say, will you stand with Jesus this morning? Will you stand with Him in His teachings? Will you be one that's willing to obey, even though it's not popular with the world? Are you willing to stand for the truth when the world says, no, that's not the way we see things. That's not what we want. Are you willing to stand with Jesus? You know, in that upper room, Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. Would that have been a right to the gut? I think so. He even told him who it was. When I dip this bread in the gravy here, and I'm going to give it to the one, and then he tells Judas, what you do, do quickly. When we don't do what God asks, when we're not faithful to Him, hear the words, one of you will betray me. I don't want to be that person. I want to be the person that loves God's Word so much and the message of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Oh yeah, Peter messed up. He did deny Jesus 3 times, just like Jesus said he was going to. And he was sorrowful because of it. He went back to fishing. He went back to doing what he was doing when Jesus found him. How many times do we or people you know go back to doing what they were doing when they found Christ Jesus? It happens every day, folks. But Jesus lifted him up and restored his ministry. He even told him how he was going to die. And tradition teaches that he did die. Tradition teaches that he refused to be hung on a cross like his Lord, and he asked to be hung upside down. That's tradition. The Apostle Paul lost his head, what tradition tells us. Tradition tells us that a lot of disciples were burned at the stake. They lost their life believing what God did through Christ Jesus. Do you believe this morning what God did through Christ Jesus? Scripture tells us, Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Folks, that's not selfishness. Are you selfish? I've got some tendencies. Are you preoccupied with the world, things in the world? Are you not aligned with the kingdom? I got that difficulty. I know you do too. Why, you wouldn't be human if you didn't. But folks, there's hope. There's hope in Christ Jesus. Scripture teaches that he loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. Isn't that awesome? That's not selfishness. God gave Jesus. There was no one like Jesus. He was the unique one, Scripture says. There's nothing like him, and God did not withhold Jesus from us. You know, I can remember being a kid one time when there was only a couple cookies left in the Oreo package, and there was 3 of us. I know this sounds trivial, but boy, we were ready to fight over those cookies, and my dad said, oh, how about I'm just going to keep those? And we were like, Dad, what? You're going to take them? Because parents share what they have, don't they? And then he reached around and opened up a brand new pack of Oreos. Where do those come from? You know, the funny thing with God, that he gives and gives blessings to us, spiritual blessings, the ones that really matter, they never end, folks. They never fall short of satisfying our spiritual needs. What we really need. We need a Savior. And we got one. He never fails to be forgiving. He never fails to cleanse our sins when we ask, if we're faithful. He is faithful to forgive. Does it really do any good to keep back things from each other and to keep back things from God when we see spiritually they just keep pouring and pouring and pouring? In the book of Ezekiel, there's a description of the fountain that's coming from the throne of God, and he's going out and he's measuring. He goes out a span and he measures the water. He goes out another span. And the picture is that he just keeps going out further and further. The water from under the throne keeps getting deeper and deeper. And he keeps getting further and further away. The picture is that never runs out. God's love never runs out, folks. It makes no sense to be selfish, and it makes no sense to be preoccupied with things that don't align up with the kingdom. This morning I'm asking you, are you stuck in the sin of selfishness and preoccupation? You know, it only seems like two categories, but in themselves they embody a lot of things that preoccupy, don't they? This morning, are you lined up with the kingdom? I'm trusting that you are. And if you're not, we have an opportunity this morning to do so. We have an opportunity to get lined up with God. I said earlier, we only need to look to the Scriptures for help. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another, John 13:35. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. 1 John 3:16. We only need to turn to the Scriptures to help us overcome the selfishness and the preoccupation we have in life. Jesus' entire life is an example of discipleship to God. Won't you turn to Him this morning? Won't you be a true disciple of Christ, removing all obstacles that stand in your way of being that true disciple? Won't you do that this morning as we stand and we sing together this invitation song?